They're a lot more fun than children. You get rid of them, you send them home when they get fussy, you know? Yeah. But anyway, it's a Grandparents Day. Happy Grandparents Day to all the grandparents out there, and we're glad you're with us. We also have a reminder of prime timers on Wednesday, correct? And do they need to let Donna or whomever know if you're going to be there so that she can have a good accounting? Is it going to be a catered lunching again? Okay, so remember also with that, make sure you put a little offering in the plate there to help pay for the meal there. But it's a good time we have there on Wednesday afternoons, sharing with one another and then having a quick prayer meeting afterwards. On the sad side of the house, and yet the happy side of the house, our brother Ernie Flanagan has passed away, and I think you knew that. Tomorrow will be his funeral at Ted's Funeral Home there in Hilliard, Old Hilliard, Ohio. The funeral showing, or the showing will be at 9:30 to 11:30 with the funeral following. So if you want to pay your respects to Ernie and comfort his family, you can do that tomorrow, and they're at Ted Funeral Home. In somewhat of humor, I mentioned this in men's breakfast yesterday. You know, Ernie passed away last week, and so did the Queen. And if there's any kind of a waiting room, which I don't think there is, but if there was any kind of a waiting room there in heaven, and St. Peter was, you know, has to do like the TV kind of sometimes show, lets you through, I can just imagine Ernie walking up to the Queen and say, "I don't know how to tell you this." Isn't that wonderful, though? Old Ernie. Ed shared with us one of Ernie's last comments made here in church was, "Be ready. When you leave that door, be ready, because you never know." Well, we thank God that you're all here, that we have this morning to join in worship and love with one another. And God bless you as Dave brings the music to us, and we'll all sing and rejoicing.
Thank you, brother. It's good to have you back. It's good to have Sam back. Poor guy got roped into everything. First time back. What a mighty God we serve. Let's stand, shall we?
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
Say amen. Amen. Give the Lord.
Thank you.
Let's keep saying, let's read, shall we? Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning, above all. You're an eternal God, and that you love us this morning. Guide us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Mixie.
Oh, no, can you hear me? Okay. Good thing you didn't hear what I said when it wasn't on over there. Well, my wife said I should share some things this morning about the Queen because it is an international event. So I looked up some things about the Queen, which I didn't know. Maybe you did. She's been the Queen all of my life. And for some of you, most of your 70 years, I think she was the Queen. So it was an interesting adventure. But this is what this little article says. Though Queen Elizabeth did not speak openly about her politics, the same cannot be said about her steadfast faith in Christ. Here we have a list of her most poignant quotes collected by the co-author of Faith of Our Faithful Queen's 70 Years of Faith and Service. So in 2014, she said, "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing. Christ's example has taught me to seek to respect and value all people of whatever faith or none." She's got a number of them on here, but I'll just read one more. If you want to look this up, just look up the 10 quotes the Queen said about faith, and there's 10 of these. It says, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. And I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all the days, and to put my trust in God." How many leaders do we have say that today? We don't have a lot that will say that, at least publicly, but I thought that was an awesome thing. The rest of the quotes are just as inspirational about her faith in Christ and how that's how she led her country and her government. So we need to just pray that that continues with Charles. I don't know anything really about him. Hopefully his mother taught him well and he listened. And he'll do what she did, an example there. So, yeah, pray for Ernie's family. The funeral's tomorrow, so pray for them. I've talked to them a little bit. And we just look forward to sending him off, right? We're sending him off to his home forever. Amen. Knowing that we'll be there someday. And you can probably think of all the different quotes that Ernie would say, you know, "I don't know how to say this. I can't speak very well. You're important." You know, all those, he had all these different phrases that he used that now come back to your mind, you know, what he said. And so he had a lot of inspirational things to say. Be careful out there. Make sure you're right before you leave this room. All these different things that he would say that he wanted people to know and hear about. And I'm going to talk about some of those tomorrow at the funeral, the people he witnessed to in the hospital and things like that. So we should be having some inspiration from him. So. Any other praises you want to do, praise about this morning, what God's done for you? The lady right here in the front. Do I
sit in the front? Sit next to a smart-looking man here. I just praise God for answered prayer. You know, I was looking back over the summer, and we had a few prayer requests specifically regarding a son that was going to make a very quick move to Georgia, and he was going to say goodbye to some of his kids. It just happened so sudden, and it just didn't seem like the right timing for us, for our son Josiah, to move. And I asked the Sunday school class to pray, and the Lord put it on their heart very clearly, and they gave testimony to God and said, "It felt like we were trying to move mountains to move, so we're going to wait for God's timing." And so I praise God for answered prayer. And praise God that, you know, this particular song, "Above All Wealth, Above All Power," you know, as you're thinking about the Queen and thinking about God, you know, and the kingdoms and who he is and that he has made himself known and available to us, I praise God.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm just going to put a plug in for middle school and high school and young adult Sunday school class starts next week. First and third Sundays, we meet in the fellowship hall, past the kitchen, little door by where you got to the swing set, that little door in the little room. So come next week.
Yeah, we have a prayer request to pray for Dee this morning. She's in a lot of pain. So let's pray for her this morning. Any other requests we have? Kelly?
Hi, I'm just asking for prayer for Stanley. He's sick today, and we don't know if it's whooping cough or not. And also, apparently we had a baby, and he's 18 years old and living with us now, so pray for our family.
You can ask her more about that if you don't know the backstory. That'll give you something to talk about. I'm not going to tell you the story. I know the story, but you have to ask them.
Praise the Lord. 1 year and 1 month after the fire, we are back in our house. There's still some difficulties, but we're home.
I got a call about 8 o'clock this morning from one of my dearest friends that one of her grandchildren, 2 years old, had an older brother throw a pot of detergent at him, and it went into his eye, and they rushed him to the fire squad, to the firehouse, which is pretty close to them. But we need to pray that he doesn't lose his sight. His name's Dakota.
Anything else? Okay, healing for our son Isaac is having some issues. And for Steve's dad, family as well. So let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Lord, you all know all these requests for healing, physical healing, Lord, for this little boy who had detergent thrown in his eye, for Isaac, for Steve's dad, for Tina, for Pat, for Dee, for Donna, for Ernie's family. Lord, there's just so many different ones out there, for Stanley, for different things that you've heard this morning. Lord, you know all those things. We prayed in the past for others, for their fathers and their mothers and sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, people that have been in car accidents, surgeries that didn't go too well for Diane, who's recovering from hers, and just all the different things, Lord, that we go through as human beings. We know this physical body's breaking down, and we know that we have doctors to help us, but they can only help us to a certain extent. At some point, Lord, we're going to be going home to you. We just pray that each one here knows you as their Lord and Savior, and if they don't, that they'll ask you to be their Lord and Savior, that they can spend eternity in heaven. Lord, we pray for England, Lord, who's mourning the loss of their leader, who was a godly woman. We just pray for the next leader coming in, for Charles. That will be a godly leadership as well. We pray for our nation, Lord, for all the turmoil and struggles and strife and terrible things that are happening, Lord, that we don't always understand. But we know you're in control regardless. We know how it ends. But sometimes the process of getting there is not a good one. So we ask for your guidance and your direction. We ask you to raise up a godly leader for us here, for our governors, our senators, Lord, our congressmen and women, and for our next president, that you'd raise up someone that's going to follow you. And so we ask that this morning, Lord, be with us as we take communion later on, as Dave continues with his song, and as we have the message, Lord, help us not just to hear the words, but to be doers of the word. Be with those who can't be with us today. Let them know that we're praying for them as well in your name. Amen. Thank you.
but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they leaned upon and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the whole.
Thanks, Dave, for playing that. Well, we're at the time of communion this morning. It's a time we gather together as a family, as a group, as a body, to remember what Christ has done for us. And the Word tells us to examine your life. Make sure there's nothing between you and God that's going to hinder that relationship before you commune with Him. So as we're passing out the elements, just take a few minutes. Check yourself. God, there's something I need to confess, something I need to get rid of. I'm holding some bitterness or anger against somebody, whatever it may be. And just take this time as Pam plays quietly for us while we pass out the elements before we have communion. So the ushers would come forward. know, as we think about communion, it's kind of hard to fathom, isn't it, that the God of the universe would die for us? I mean, look at people in general. Things we do, you know, a lot of times we're selfish and we don't care about others and think about what we can gain. We don't necessarily think about Him and what He's done for us and where we'd be without Christ. You know, just look at the world. You can see those who don't know Him, how much of a different life that is. You know, there's a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, hopelessness. And you think of the Lord, and you know, we go through tough times. It's not always good and wonderful and joyful things that we go through, but God is there with us, helping us, guiding us through, giving us somebody to lean and depend upon, knowing what the end is going to be. No matter what the circumstance is, we know how it ends, don't we? We know we're in heaven with Him. We know that those who know Him will be there with us as well. It'll be a time of rejoicing and no more crying and no more suffering and no more pain and no more anxiety and worries and all those things. It'll just be a wonderful time. I have a hard time imagining what it's going to be like. You know, can you do anything you want? Can you, you know, eat all the food you want and never gain any weight? I don't know what it's going to be like, but it'll be, whatever it is, it'll be amazing. Things that we think are important now won't matter, you know. And so as we look at communion this morning, I think of the disciples sitting around the table with Jesus when He took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body broken for you." And I wonder what they thought that meant. And that was a metaphor. He was given a symbol, an idea. But did they really get what He meant? And maybe not. Even when He's on the cross, I'm not sure they even were sure what was going on with that. But so we'll take the bread this morning, remembering Christ's body was broken for us. Let's take and eat together. Took the cup, He said, "This is my blood that was shed for you." And He passed it around, and they all drank from the cup. People would probably freak out if we started passing the cup around, everybody drank from it, wouldn't they? But that's what they did. They were a body. They were a fellowship together. They were a family. And that's how they did it. But we'll do it symbolically this morning as we take the cup and drink, remembering Christ's blood was shed for us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for dying on the cross for our sins, for stretching out Your arms and saying, "I love You this much," and then taking on the sin and the weight of the world for our behalf, knowing that You could have come down from the cross anytime You wanted to, but You wanted to pay that price so we could know eternity in heaven with You. Father, we thank You for that this morning. Thank You for this time of remembrance. Your body was broken, Your blood was shed for us. Help us to take that to heart and to live for You in the best way that we can. In Your name, amen. Well, Russ mentioned a little bit this morning about this is the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attack on our own soil. It was kind of a devastating thing. We were in Australia at the time, and some friends called us on the phone and said, "Did you see what happened in the States?" And we're like, "We don't know what you're talking about." So we turned the TV on, we watched it, and as it unfolded, we looked in disbelief, and it seemed unreal. And I was waiting for somebody to say, "You know, this is just like a, what was it, Orson Welles or one of those things he did? This is not really real. This is just kind of a fake thing that's going on." But the more we watched it, the more horrific it seemed. And to see that somebody attacked us on our own soil. On that day, 2,977 people were killed. 19 hijackers committed murder, suicide, and more than 25,000 others were injured. But it didn't stop at that point. If you look at it now, there's almost more people now that have died from the exposure to the fumes and the chemicals and everything else that happened that day. But it was a grave day for America. But one of the results was, at least for a time, the churches were flooded with people. People came back to God looking for faith, looking for hope, looking for peace and comfort and renewing their time of faith, had a new sense of patriotism. And the body of Christ was built up a bit. And then what do people do after a while? They just kind of wander away, don't they? They wander off again until some major event comes back, and then they come back to the church. But isn't it even better if you just stay with the church? Stay with the body of Christ so you can be helped and encouraged through those times and be built up so when those times come, you have something to fall back on, that you're not just out struggling for nothing? Have you ever heard the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"? I looked up where that came from. Where did that come from? Well, what I found was, it says James Wells moderator of the United Free Church of Scotland, tells the story of a little girl carrying a big baby boy in his book in 1884 in the Parables of Jesus. It says, seeing her struggling, someone asked if she wasn't tired. With surprise, she replied, no, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. There's a lot of depth in that, isn't there? He's not heavy, he's my brother. It doesn't matter how much he weighs, I'm going to carry him because he's my family, I love him. He needs help, he needs somebody to get him through. And sometimes I think we're supposed to be like that. When we look at us, our friends and people around us, instead of complaining, you know, though they did this, they did that, we need to say, you know, they're not heavy, they're my brother, I'm going to lift them up in prayer. I'm going to help them, I'm going to be there for them, whatever they need, I'm going to do the best that I can do because they're my brother or they're my sister. Reminds me of how close family should be and how important it should be to us. They're part of our flesh and blood. We're supposed to be there to help them through trials and struggles. I mean, we can argue with them, get mad at them, but nobody else better do that, right? You can yell at your brother and sister and whatever and get mad, but if somebody else does it, you better watch out because you're not going to yell at my brother or sister. So there's that love relationship that goes deeper than our emotions. But that's what a family does. They support each other. We're a family here. We just talked about this morning a little bit. We're connected by the blood of Christ, aren't we? His blood washed over all of us. We all became his children, his family. And sometimes today I think we forget that we're family, right? Well, we're not talking about anything new. I don't know if any message you ever hear is going to be something new you haven't ever heard before. A lot of times God reminds us of, did you remember this? Because my wife will say, remember when I told you that? I'm like, nope. I told you that already. I don't remember you telling me that at all. So you get reminded, don't you? Because sometimes you forget. She'll talk to me sometimes, and I'll be looking at the calendar. I did it yesterday, I think it was. She was telling me something, and I looked at the calendar. I was looking for something, and she told me something. And she said, you hear what I said? I'm like, yeah, I heard what you said. I told her a few words. She goes, that wasn't all that I said. I'm like, oh, well, what did you tell me? Right? So sometimes we get distracted in our lives, but nothing is new under the sun. It says in Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. But sometimes you need clarification. Sometimes you need reminding, don't you? Sometimes you get a little boost of like, you remember when I said that? When God says to us, do you remember when I told you that? Remember when you did this and went through this experience and I helped you? And you can do it. And somebody else may say to us, well, you've done that before. And you're like, oh yeah, I did. So a lot of times you look at the Word of God and he reminds us things. He may show us passages that we've looked at before, but we didn't really understand. We didn't really get anything out of it. And sometimes he does that with the Holy Spirit. We read ourselves. We'll say, I read that verse 5 times before, and now I really know what it means. So when you look at God's word sometimes, he brings clarity. I was looking at some things this week, and it talks about the church and the growth of the church, and it says, you don't need to be an excellent expositor. You don't need to be able to speak excellently. You need to love and care for people. That's one of the most important things that we can do in the church, and we talk about sharing our faith. And you may say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, just ask God to give you the right words. You don't have to be a perfect speaker. You just have to be a willing vessel to do that. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. I'm going to read the passage this morning first and then go through it. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body's not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? The whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that it lacked, So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. There's a lot in there, isn't it? It tells us to do a lot of things in these verses. It says, just as a body, though one is many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Our bodies have many parts, don't they? You know, you think of your hands and your feet and your fingers and your toes and your ears and eyes and all those things. And they all belong to the one body. So if you take someone's ear, for instance, and take it off, is that their body? Would that be their body? If I took off the ear, say, here's, would I say, this is your body? No, you'd say, that's a part of the body. That's one part of a whole body, and it has to be together to make everything work together. We have bones and muscles and ligaments and organs. But what you can find out from that ear is, what's the DNA? What body does that belong to? And as a Christian, we have a DNA, don't we? They can tell if we belong to the body of Christ called the Holy Spirit. That's our part of our DNA for us. It can be traced back. Jesus shed his blood to put his spirit within us. So in a sense, we all have the same spiritual blood, don't we? You ever have a blood test done? You ever do the that ancestry.com and try to trace your relations back and back and back, right? I know you have some of this and you have some of this and you have some of this, and they trace all that stuff back and find out who you're related to. But in the spiritual body, it doesn't matter what your race is, your age, your gender, whether you're slave or free, Jew or Gentile, or anything else. If you accepted Christ, then we all have the same spiritual DNA, don't we? We're all from the body of Christ. We're all related. Even though we're different, we're all part of the same body of Christ. If you look at your kids or your cousins or your aunts or uncles, they don't all look identical. Even identical twins are not identical. They have differences, right? But they may all be part of the same family. He goes on to verse 15. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So Paul, I think, is warning us about feeling like you're not important and you don't belong because you're not the same as somebody else. Just because you don't have that job or that position or that title or that whatever it is, it doesn't make you less important than anybody else. You're all still a part of the body. We think because if you're up front or you're in the bulletin or whatever, you're important. That's ridiculous. It doesn't have anything to do with it. We're all the same in Christ's eyes. He doesn't put you in position according to what your job is or what you're doing in the church or anything like that. We're all the same. He doesn't number us or equate our value by the job we have or don't have. He says we're all children of his and all important to him. So is one person more important because they're a teacher or a lawyer or a garbage man? We need all of them, don't we? Every position is important. If you think that's not important, see what happens when the garbage men go on strike. Right? Then you say, we need those guys. I mean, the lawyer's not going to help me take out my garbage. The lawyer's not going to, you know, so we need every person in their position that God has put them in to be used in that position. He sees us according to our surrender to him. He said, do you love me? Like he said to Peter, do you love me? And our question is, do we love him? Are we serving him or doing what we should be doing where we are? If you surrender to Christ, you're just as important as anybody else. There's no pecking order. We're joint heirs. We're a child of the King. And nobody in church should be looking down on anybody else or be talking poorly about somebody and saying, look at them, they did that. Look at them, they did that. Well, maybe it's better to go to them and say, do you need help? Instead of telling somebody else the things they did or how bad they were or whatever they did or didn't do. Maybe you should call them up and say, hey, do you need some help? Can I pray for you about something? Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just say, did you hear what they did? I can't believe they did that. Did you see them? That doesn't build anybody up. But we all have a tendency, even me, I'm not any different than you are, to do that. Did you? I can't believe what they said. I can't believe that person. We need to think of their brothers and sisters. Would I talk about my brother and sister that way? If I truly loved them? We don't talk bad about family. Right? How many arguments would that help if we didn't talk, if we talked good about our family and encouraged our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles? When you talk bad about family, that goes deep, doesn't it? Because that kind of spreads out to the rest of the family, who's ever on your side or their side. And it's like, did you hear what they said to me? Did you hear about, I can't believe that? And then it just makes the family a hard place to be. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says it like this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Anybody have all those characteristics all the time? No. We need to strive to it, don't we? Strive to have those. It says, bear with each other. Forgive one another. If you have any grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put love on, which binds them together in perfect unity. So as a body, we should love each other and be unified. That's what we should be, loving and unified. And building each other up. Do we do that here? Do we build each other up? Do we encourage each other? Do we reach out to help each other? Or do we just think, well, somebody else will do that? We should be doing that, shouldn't we? Not only here, but when we're out from this building, around other people. You don't always see love and compassion from everyone else. But we should be the first ones to show it. My wife reminds me sometimes, well, you don't know what that person was thinking. Well, maybe they were doing this, and I have to think, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that could have been me pulling out in front of me because I didn't pay attention, or whatever it would have been. So sometimes you think about what that other person, maybe they're going to an emergency, and they're just trying to get there because maybe somebody's in trouble. Goes on to say, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? The whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Fact is, God made us different. And that's good, isn't it? Couldn't you imagine looking around the world and seeing everybody look just like you? You all look the same. You all wear the same clothes. You all talk the same. You all have the same problems. You wouldn't get along with each other. Right? You want people to look different, to be different, to have different gifts, abilities, talents. We need those things. We need people to be funny. Some are funny. Some are doctors. Some are funny doctors. Right? We need everybody in their position. Whatever position you're in, God needs you to be in that position, and he wants to use you in that position to make a difference. Don't just take your job or your position or your life as something unimportant. Wherever you're at, whether it's in a gas station, whether it's in a school, whether it's in a home, whether it's just in your home, going to the grocery store, every position that we're in, God wants us to use as an opportunity. Even if it's just to be kind to the person in front of you or behind you. You ever drive through a drive-through and somebody pays for your meal ahead of you? You're like, well, that's kind of cool. Especially if it's somebody you don't know. Like, I don't even know that person. They just paid for my meal. And you feel like, wow, that was nice. You don't get that very often, do you? But it's nice to do occasionally. Even though we look different, we all have the same spiritual DNA. We have those in our body here that are prayer warriors, and they pray probably better and more than anybody else, and that's what they're called to do. And that's what they should be doing. Not that we shouldn't pray, but there are certain ones that just, you know what I'm talking about, that just somebody prays and you're like, man, that person just knows how to pray. We have those who are good organizers. They can organize things. They help run things efficiently. And those who have abilities with their hands and with numbers and all those kinds of things, those who share about Christ. I think about Ernie talking about how when he's in the hospital, he shared with, I don't know how many it was, 20, 30 people he shared with, and doctors and nurses and all kinds of things, and he did, that was just his thing that he did, and he enjoyed it. Even if they didn't go along with Christ, he still would share with them. Then he'd get emotional and cry a lot of times about the lost and what people are going through and those kind of things. And that was kind of his way. Regardless of whatever part you play, you're crucial in running the body of Christ. You know, you can think about a computer and all the circuits and boards and transistors maybe that are in there, capacitors and everything. If one little piece goes out, that computer doesn't work. You need every part working together to make that thing function like it's supposed to. And that's what we need with the body of Christ. We need to use the gifts that God has given us to reach others. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, you can look and see what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. And see maybe what your gift is, what he's gifted you. If you're not sure, ask somebody else, what do you think God's gifted me with? What do you see in me kind of that you might think that I fit in? Then he goes on and says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body seem to be weak or indispensable. And he goes in and says, everybody has an equal part, and they should all be concerned. So Paul's saying that we need each other. Some are weaker, some are stronger. Some you think may be weaker are stronger in different areas than you are. Right? I know men think they're really strong, and physically they are, but we've never had to birth a child. Right? That's a strength that I don't have, and I don't want any part of that. But God knows that, doesn't he? He knows which ones are the nurturers, which ones are the protectors, which ones are the birthers, which ones are the providers. He knows all the things we're supposed to be. When society gets out of whack, sometimes it's because we put people in the position they shouldn't be in. That's not their gifting. That's not what they should do. It doesn't mean they can't do it. It means they're not the ones who really should be doing it. Mothers can raise kids by themselves, right? My mom did it. Should have two parents, though. Father and mother, they both contribute different things to kids, right? If you didn't get that, that's okay. God can still use that. He can still make you the person you should be, but I think it's harder. Don't try to be somebody else. You need to be who you are. A lot of times we'll get into a position and we listen to people or watch people do something, we try to be just like them, but it doesn't work because we're not them. You need to be who you are. God's called you in a certain way to be the person you need to be, to make a difference the way you can make a difference. He honors all of us and wants there to be no division among us. One of the big divisions that we have today, politics. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? You know what? In the end, it doesn't matter. The question should be, do you believe in Christ or not? If you have a different opinion than I have, that's okay. You're entitled to have your opinion. A lot of times today, now, if you have a different opinion than somebody else, then you're horrible, you're terrible, you're a whatever. You can believe different than somebody else, and you're still okay. As long as you believe the Lord is your Savior, you can have a different opinion. I think the enemy wants to split us apart, wants it to be divided. When you're divided, you're easily conquered. When you're together, you're not easily conquered. Think of the Roman soldiers with their shields. When they all put their shields together, they were unconquerable. When they're separated, yeah, they can be killed and divided, but when they put the shields together, they can't penetrate that. We put on the armor of God as a body, the enemy can't get in. Right? We back each other up. We support each other. We're supposed to love them. You heard this phrase, love people and let God sort it out. Right? People don't always do what we think they should do. We don't always do what somebody thinks we should do. We make mistakes. We need to be there to help them when they make a mistake and to encourage them. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Just like a family, if one part is hurting, then you're hurting. If your brother or sister or aunt or mom or whatever it is in pain, then you're in pain for them. You're suffering for them. If they get an honor or award or rejoice, then you rejoice. And that's how we should be. We need to remember that we're the body of Christ, and none is more important than the other. So And when it comes to your mind sometimes to talk poorly about somebody or a bad thought comes in about somebody in your family, don't say it. You don't need to express it. You don't need to speak it. You don't need to pass it on. Because gossip and backbiting and talking is like COVID. Easily spread. Very infectious. An article by somebody called Mississippi Mom talks about some characteristics of the body of Christ. It says the body of Christ is more than going to church, it's being the church. More than going to church is being the church. We're an active part in that. We act like Christ wants us to do. It's different denominations working together as one body. Believers united in purpose and passion and outpouring of love for the lost and the broken among us. It's God moving in and through his people. So if you look at the book of Acts, it paints a picture of the body, not a building. It teaches us the church is a place where people come, but it's also any place the people of the church are. Right? When we go somewhere, we can be the body of Christ wherever. You can go in different country, different church, and still be the body of Christ. It's not one building. So I'm just going to list some of the characteristics. The church studies the word. Acts 4 says, believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They had to know what God's word was. The church fellowships. They had meals together. They met together. They talked. They shared. A lot of times in churches, service is done and people are gone. Boink. One thing good about this church a lot of times is people will stay and talk. Hey, how are you this week? What's going on? Do you need help? You know, those kind of things, which is what we need to do. Because sometimes people don't want to share what's going on in their life. They think, well, that's not really important. People don't really care. Well, they do care. But if you don't tell them, they can't. The church shared what they have. Talks about the believers selling their goods to support one another. You don't have to sell everything, but you can share what you have. Hey, I've got a lawnmower because mine's broken. Can I borrow yours? Those kind of things, simple things. The church prays. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Probably the most important thing out of that whole sentence was prayer. Communicating with God, being connected to him, so you can know what he wants you to do. The church is unified. They were together as one body, not a bunch of individuals trying to do their own thing, but as one group trying to do the same thing for him. It says all believers were of one mind and heart. And the last one on here, the church shared the good news. They shared the good news. He tells them in Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They took him seriously. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God. So we need to remember that together we're the body of Christ. Apart, we're just pieces walking around. So we need to be unified in our thoughts, in our actions, in our prayers. And make sure you're fulfilling your part, whichever God's called you to do, because you're a crucial part of this body. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for your word. Help us, Lord, to be unified as a church, as a group. Be with those parts of our body that are sick right now. Help them to be healed. Help people to know what their position and responsibility and joy is in the church, what you've called them to do. Lord, help us to love each other in your name. Amen.